Well, I want to welcome everyone that is joining us live today. So I want to invite you, ladies and gentlemen, if you would, let's pray. And let's just invite God in this session, in this hour that we have together today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to honor you for who you are. We want to honor you for your faithfulness. We want to honor you for your mercies and your grace, God. We want to thank you, Father, because you're a good Father. We bless you. We honor you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, great I am. We come before you with thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you for protecting our lives, Lord. We thank you even for these conditions we have around us, God, that even this snowstorm, Lord, you're preserving our lives. You're protecting us, God. You're putting your hedge of protection around about us, God. We thank you, God, that we get to have a place to lay our heads, God. We get to get a place where it's warm and comfortable, God. We just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your provision, Lord. We thank you for your mercies, God. We thank you for your grace, Heavenly Father. We honor you today, God. We thank you for the ability to be together in worship today, sharing your word, God. We just bless you for your living word that is true, God. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you and we honor you and we thank you for your mercies and grace. You are God, our Father, our King, and our Lord. We love you and honor you today. We glorify you. God, we bless you and we adore you, God. Who is there like you? No one else is there like you. You alone are faithful. You alone are merciful. You alone are gracious. You alone are God forever. We love you today. And we worship you and we bless your holy name. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor, Lord. Our hearts cry out that thou art worthy to receive all praise, to receive all honor, to receive all glory, God. We bless you right now and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this hour. We welcome you in this moment, God. We bless you and honor you, God. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in, joining us today. I appreciate you being here today. Good to see you, Alicia. Thank you for joining us today. So, like I said, we just thank God that we have the blessing of technology. Hold on one second.
It's echoing really bad and hard to hear.
Okay, there's a bit of echo. Mm-hmm. All right, maybe, sorry guys.
The phone far away?
How about, yeah, maybe that. So would you, someone just texted and said it was echoing real bad.
Ask, is it better?
Yeah, if please, if you, whoever texted that was echoing, if you can please text again, let us know if that quality is now better. We'll see that. It could be also the prayer line. Or maybe, I don't know, but I hope it's okay now. Was that Sherry who asked that?
It's Yolanda.
Okay. Please let us know if it's okay now, and so we can make it better. Thank you for letting us know, by the way, that the echo was there and it wasn't good. So, all right. So last Sunday we said, by the way, don't you thank God that we have technology? Now, I want to encourage you. I hope you got your cup of coffee. You got your seat. You're ready to get settled in right now. And we're going to get into God's word. Please do not sleep on me. Don't get too comfortable that you end up sleeping. So you may want to get a cup of coffee so we can move forward. So last Sunday we started a series on Let's Do Life Together. That's what we started on last Sunday. And the concept we got last Sunday's message was, you know, the purpose that God has called you and I is to be one. And that's why one of the greatest description we find in the Bible about us is that we are the body of Christ. And the other description in the Bible is that we are the army of the Lord. You see, there's no army that can be isolated. There is no body part that can be alone. So the whole concept that we're the body of Christ, that we are the army of the Lord, is to drive this notion that you and I have to be connected as one, because that's the purpose of God. Now, while that is the will of God, that we are connected as his body or as the army of the Lord, it is also the will of the devil that we are disconnected. And the devil has been working hard on that to disconnect us so that he drives this sense of loneliness in our lives. But it is not the will of God. So today's text is going to come from the Bible. We're going to read the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verses 1 through 4. That's our text today. And therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, okay? So he's driving the point. If any encouragement from being united, in other words, if you delight in the fact that you are known by Jesus, if you delight in the fact that you're connected with Christ, if you delight in the fact that God has got your back, that no matter what you go through life, you're not alone. If you delight in the fact that God has shown you his mercy and grace, now he is telling us that if we appreciate the fact that we are children of God, covered by his blood, forgiven, connected to him, have eternal life, he's like, if that is what's going on, he leads us to verse 2 here that says, so complete my joy by being united. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same, being in full accord of one mind. So, hey, Antonio, good to see you. I'll give you a shout out. So let's see it. I have another message coming in. Here is what the Bible says in verse 1 in a New International Revised Version. It says, are you cheerful because you belong to Christ? Does his love comfort you? Is the Holy Spirit your companion? Has Christ been gentle and loving towards you? So I had to slow down. I think somebody said, hey, Pastor, slow down. I think that I was going too fast.
And then ask everyone else to mute their phones.
And if you are doing the conference line, remember to mute your phone. I think that would be very helpful. Ladies and gentlemen, apologize for all these connections we're going through, but we got to pick up here the momentum in a little bit. So in this verse it says, are you cheerful because you belong to Christ? Yes. Does his love comfort you? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit your companion? Yes. Has Christ been gentle and loving towards you? Yes, I think you took out the prayer line. Conference line. Yeah, you have to. Sorry, some people on the conference line can't hear anymore now. Let's skip the prayer conference line here. Okay. All right. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, this is the basis of wanting to connect. This is the foundation. This is where we're rooted. You see, we long to connect to the degree that we realize who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Now, let's go to verse 2 here, which is really the point here. In verse 2, okay, that is verse 2 right there. It says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. So is God, if you look at that verse, it says being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. And you can see he's talking about the mind twice, having the same mind, being of one mind. What does that mean? So I wanted to think deep on that. What does that mean? As we dive into this, does God want us to have the same opinion? Does God want us to think the same way? Absolutely not. God doesn't want us to have the same opinion in terms of, you know, what we think about politics or what we think about sports or what we think about any other thing. He wants us to have the same mind. But what does that mean? If he doesn't want us to think the same because he created us differently, we have to have a different way of thinking because we are made different. We have different environments. But he says, have the same mind. What he's referring to is having the same framework in which our mindsets are derived. So we have to have the same framework. We don't have to think the same, but the framework in which we build our attitude, the framework in which we build our mindset is the same. Now, I want you to think about, say, a football team, all the players on that team may not think the same, and they will not think the same, but they have the same framework when they get to that game. The same framework of their mindset is, I have to do my part, whatever it takes, I need to do my part so that we win the game. They have the same mind is about winning that game. Or if you think about the army, they may not all think the same, but they all have the same framework, which is as people that are in the army, they're recruited, they're in there, they're serving for one set of mindset, which is to protect the liberties and the freedoms of the United States of America. So when God says, I want you to be of the same mind, same unity, together as one, same spirit. He's not asking us to have the same way of thinking, but he's asking us to have the same framework in which we operate. And that framework of mind that is built on God's word and built on the principles of God's word, that we all share the same. And that's what he's referring to there. He's saying, but again, as you go back, he says in the next verse there, in verse 1, I want us to go deeper into that. So it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Now, I want you to see if. Anytime you see if, there's a condition there. So there's a condition that God is putting in here. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the spirit, if any tenderness or any compassion, if you receive any of that from God, why is he conditioning that? Why is he putting if? You see, could he not, if you look at this verse in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I hope you're following me, could he not just have gone straight, you know, and said, hey, you know, he could have just gone straight from verse 1 and says, if there is any, if you're any encouragement, if you're any way built up, if you're cheerful, all that. He could have skipped all that. He could have just gone all that and skipped that verse that says, if any, you know, therefore, if you have, he would have skipped all that, says, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing the spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, he would have shifted or skipped all that and went straight to verse 2, which says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord in one mind. He could have just cut out all these pre-qualifying statements, if you have the same mind, if you're connected to Christ, if you have any compassion. He could have just gone straight and told us, hey, I want you to be of the same mind, have the same love, being full accord of one mind. But he didn't. Why? Because this is not just a good idea to be united. It's not just a good idea for us to have each other's back. It's not just a good idea to be Christians that are supporting and encouraging and building one another. Rather, it is God's idea. If we understand what Christ has done for us, if we're grateful to what Jesus has done for all us, if we are blessed and privileged to know that we are filled in the Holy Spirit, that we have this blessing, then it becomes the basis, it becomes the driving force why it's important that you and I reach out and connect with others. You see, God wants us to remember, whenever you don't feel like connecting with anybody, whenever you don't feel like reaching out to anybody, whenever you don't feel like it's convenient to engage other people, whenever you don't feel like it's okay to pray with others, whenever it feels like annoying to other people to be reaching out to you, sending you text messages, whenever it feels discomfort and uncomfortable, whenever it feels uncomfortable and discomforting to you, he says, I want you to remember that if there is any encouragement from the fact that you're a child of God, the fact that you've been forgiven, the fact that Christ is united with you, the fact that you have the privilege of knowing the Spirit, the fact that Jesus went out of his way for you and I, the fact that Christ gave his life for you and I, the fact that God has loved us, if there is any comfort in that. So the moment you begin to feel uncomfortable because we live in a culture that drives us into isolation, a culture that drives us into being ourselves, a culture that prides in doing me and being happy all by myself, just minding my own business, doing my own life, having nothing to do with anybody else. I'm just going to do me. We're living the culture that promotes that. But Jesus came for his body, his church, his bride, his army. We are part of that. And he says, if you find yourself fighting this discomfort, you find yourself in this place of not even wanting to connect. It says, I want you to remember that if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort of love, if any common sharing, now that this is the basis, this is what pushes us forward, this is what drives us to fight against the human nature of not even wanting to be engaged or bothered by anybody else. We have to remember that God is calling you and I to go beyond ourselves because he went beyond himself. Now, again, he goes ahead to say here that complete my joy. Now think about that. Paul says in verse 2, complete my joy. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Now there's so many different facets of the scriptures here, but this part here, complete my joy. He's saying, by you having the same love, having the same purpose, working together, looking out for each other, building one another, encouraging one another, fighting to stay part of the body. By you doing that, you complete my joy. What is that about? Paul is modeling to us how important it is to the Lord. Paul is saying, I share the same affection as the Lord. That my joy is complete when we are united, when we are thinking about each other, when we are praying for one another, when we are coming alongside each other. That's where my joy is. But you know what? The devil says your joy is doing you, is being you, is being isolated, you and you, and myself and my, just you. That's where the devil says, that's where your delight and joy is. In fact, that's what the enemy tries to lie to us. But here the verse says, complete my joy. He's modeling the fact that you and I are called by God to have this joy, to experience this joy that comes from us being united, from us being one, from us being united and being able to support, pray, and encourage one another. You see, there's an emotional aspect of that joy that we're called to think about. Amen. So, you see, when we get to a place where, you know, we can do life together, where I can give you grace and you give me grace, I give you mercy, you give me mercy, I give you a benefit of doubt and you give me a benefit of doubt, I'm slow to anger towards you and you slow anger towards me, when we begin to be a people that say, you know what? I'm not going to take offense against you. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you a benefit of doubt. It says it gives joy to the Lord because that's what he has called us to. Because we have received grace, that's why we give grace. You see, in the world, nobody's going to give you grace. In the world, man, if they find out your skeletons are, if they come out of your closet, man, they're going to get on your tail. It doesn't matter how long it's been, the world is going to chew you up. We see this all the time. But in Jesus, we learn to give grace to each other because we have received grace from God. Now, as I read these two verses here, I can't help it, but just really think more about it. The same part of this verse here, where he says, therefore. Now, pay attention to the word therefore. You see, that adverb is not used to just begin a new thought. Whenever you see therefore, it is implying that this is just a continuous thought. It's a thought building on an initial thought. So this thought didn't just come from nowhere. It says therefore. Why? Because there must be, if there's a word therefore, that adverb means that there is a thought prior to this thought. It's just a continuation. So when we read chapter 2 and verse 1, I see therefore, as a student of the Bible, it makes you want to go back to chapter 1 and find out what was that thought that we built on to come to this point here. Now, let's go to Let's go to verse 1. Let's find out where this thought in chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any comfort of life, any care, any encouragement, before we go there, let's now go back to chapter 1 and find out where we're building this from. Now, see chapter 1, verse 27. Now, this is really good, guys. Okay, verse 27 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent. Now, watch that. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's the prelude. That is the initial thought. Manner of life equal to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my prayer is that my life today is closer to being the gospel of Christ, equal to the gospel of Christ, than it was a year ago, than it was 5 years ago, than it was 10 years ago. I want my life to be getting closer and closer and closer. As God gives me breath to live, my aim, as I get every opportunity to live another year, my aim is my life, my manner of life is equal to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the goal. That is what God has called. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Isn't that awesome? Your manner of life, the way you do life, the way you operate, the way you think, the way you deal with people, the way you relate with that, the way you treat other people, the way you think about other people, the way you treat other people, let it be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the goal. That's the ultimate goal that you and I have. And as God gives us grace, we want to make sure as years pass by, we're getting closer and closer and closer to that. So he says that we, as Christians, we want a manner of life now to be connected to the gospel of Jesus. Put an equal sign there and find out how far you and I are. I feel like I have a long way to go, making sure that my life matches the gospel of Christ. But we are aiming for that. That's why we are in this scripture, to remember that it's not just about us, but it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a driving force. This is a driving force, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what drives me. This is why we're trying to do life together, because this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Now, I want you to see the next portion of this verse 27. It says, in verse 27, it says, let me get it here. It says that I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So this is in verse 27 of chapter 1, where he says, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Then go to chapter 2, where we've been, where it says, same mind, same spirit, one accord for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I mean, there's so much depth in these two verses. And as we've been reading, remember, this is not about you or me. It's about the gospel of Jesus. It's about a bigger picture. It's about the man that gave his life for you and I. It's about Jesus who went to the deepest ends. Even though he was God, he came to the lowest of nature to become a man and die on the cross, going out all his way to redeem us. This is what it's about. This is not about you. It's not about me. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is about the gospel. The reason we are doing what we're doing, the reason why we're getting uncomfortable, stepping out of our comfort zone, being uncomfortable in what we're doing, like, because I know that my human nature is uncomfortable with being engaged with other people. But it's the gospel of Jesus that drives me to this. And he says, I may hear Look, I'm here that you're standing firm in one spirit, standing strong against isolation, standing strong against individualism, standing strong against a self-centered life, standing strong against this divide, being divided. We are standing strong against that because we want to be one in Jesus. We want to be united in him. We want to have in the same mindset, but look at us striving side by side. My question is, do you have somebody in your life that is striving side by side with you where it's about Jesus? I know we all have different relationships. I know we have girlfriends and we have, you know, our spouses and we have family. But you have a relationship in your life that you're striving side by side just to point them towards Jesus, just to push them towards, just to enrich their relationship with Christ. Are you engaged with people where it's not about you, it's about Jesus, where you are trying to build them, striving side by side? This is why we built these groups. This is why we've launched the network to connect. This is why we have the Connect campaign, because you will have a group of three or five people or seven in your group that you can come alongside and strive side by side to push each other towards Jesus, to loving Jesus, to being connected with Jesus, to stay strong and to know that you're not fighting alone. We're fighting this together. This is what the Bible is teaching us, side by side. We're striving together. I don't know a better way to say this, but than to read that verse, that I may hear that you are striving side by side for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, this is what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. It's about our passion for Christ. It's about Jesus. I'm reaching out. You reaching out because of the gospel. So here is the biggest goal for all of us. You know, this is what we're working on. You see, I want for others to deeply connect with God because they are connected with me. I want for others. That's the lifetime goal. That is a lifetime goal for every Christian. You want for others to deeply connect with God because they're connected with you. Will somebody wake up to pray because they were connected with you? Did somebody love Jesus deeper because they were connected to you? Did somebody make it to heaven because they were connected to you? That is what counts. Somebody needs your encouragement, needs your word of wisdom, needs your prayer, needs your knowledge, needs what you got that God has put in you. And that's why we're connecting. It's uncomfortable, but I wanted to share today the bigger picture that this is because it's about Jesus. For what he did for us, what else could we do for him except to come alongside and be the vessels that God has called us to be? So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I had for you today. And I want to appreciate you for being here today. But I have a few more verses here that I'm not going to talk about, but I'm going to leave for you to think about. Perhaps call your group together today after this. After you read this, talk about this in your group. Verse 3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Think about that. Count others more significant than yourself. Count on, let each of you look not only out for your own interests. You see, let not each of you think about that. You know, think about that verse. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. I need so much help in that because it's easy for me to wake up in the morning. The first thing I think about is my interest. I think about my interest. He says, do nothing. So what about in your group? You actually talk about this, but you can take a screenshot of that, read it from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, and just read that. Now, I want to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, before I let you go, just take time today to connect with your friends today. And if you could really think about, read those verses, share them with each other. Think about how you are going to pray for each other this week. In your group, I really encourage you to spend 20 to 30 minutes a week where you can pray together, because that's what keeps Jesus in your relationship. And secondly, connect with each other. reach out to somebody in your group. But I'll let you guys decide in your group who you're going to reach out to. But we have to be very intentional, because unless we're intentional, we cannot make this happen. And by the way, if you wanted to give today, those who are giving online, you can still launch online and give your tithe, your offering to God. If you've never given online, I encourage you that when you go on winningchristiancenters.com/giving, make sure you log in. Make sure you put in your, create an account, because if you create an account, you can be able to get an accurate statement of your giving. Again, I want to thank you so much for being here today. Allow me to pray. Father, right now, I pray for us today. God, I come against every spirit of isolation. I come against every spirit of individualism. I come against every spirit that drives us into self-centeredness, God. I come against every spirit of the enemy that is fighting this concept from God's word. I come against every spirit of the enemy that fights against the body of Christ, that fights us to live out the scriptures. Every spirit of the enemy, every human nature and design that fights for us to be what God has called us to be. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, the Lord, you open the eyes of understanding. You help us realize what it's about, God. You help us to know, God, that it's about you. It's about the body of Christ. It's about us being your vessels. It's us being part of the body, doing our part. God, it's about us striving side by side to run the race together to the finish line. It's about us pushing each other towards Jesus. It's about us having the same mind that is about Jesus, about building one another, God. That the moment we feel uncomfortable, the moment our human nature comes in and we feel bothered by all this, God, that we were able to take it under control in the name of Jesus. And remember, it is about the work of God. It's about the will of God. It's about your word, God. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, we understand that living these verses is pretty hard, Lord. Being able to wake up and not think about my own interest, but the interest of others is not human. Being able to get up and think about esteeming others more than myself is not human. God, that's why I can't depend on human power. We need your grace. God, give us your grace and help us in the name of Jesus. Let your grace help us to live out these scriptures to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.